ओकम करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातं वंदे श्री गुरु दीनतारिणं परमानंद माधवं श्री चैतन्य ईश्वरं। सो वी रीडिंग फ्रॉम श्रीमद् भागवतम कैंटो 7 चैप्टर 1 टेक्स्ट 23। So till now we have seen the suspense. 23, right? Oh. Finished, huh? Narada is still starting. So till now we have seen Yudhishthira Maharaj is posting a question to Narada Muni. So hope everyone is with Yudhishthira Maharaj and everyone were listening to what Yudhishthira Maharaj is asking. So this is the Rajasuya sacrifice that is currently going on. And in that sacrifice, one very, very amazing thing happened. Shishupal, the person who has been blaspheming Krishna right from the childhood, that person, when he was killed by Krishna, the soul from the body entered the body of Krishna. And here, listening to this or seeing this, Yudhishthira Maharaj was perplexed. He was not understanding. How is it possible? How is it possible that a person who has blasphemed throughout the life has achieved something which even great jnanis and yogis and bhaktas cannot achieve after a lot of sadhana? Then Narada Muni is about to start speaking. But this is going to answer the question asked by Parikshit Maharaj. So Parikshit Maharaj's question was that is Lord partial? Does he take side of demigods and he kills demon? So this question will be answered through this pastime, and slowly we'll enter into the pastime of Hiranyakashipu, he doing tapasya, and then Prahlad Maharaj will appear, and then we want to discuss about Prahlad Maharaj. So from this text onwards till the end of 10th chapter, Narada Muni is going to speak to all of us. So let's hear what Narada Muni wants to say to all of us. Let's chant the shloka. Shri Narada Vacha Nindanastava Satkara Nyakarartham Kalevaram Pradhana Parayo Rajan Avivekena Kalpitam. So hope everyone is having the book or the link open. So we are reading from Canto 7, Chapter 1, Text 23, translation. The great sage Sri Narada started speaking. So you can imagine Shukadeva Goswami is pointing to Narada and he is saying that Narada Muni said this in that particular incident. It's a very nice context. O King, blasphemy and praise, chastisement and respect are experienced because of ignorance. The body of the conditioned soul is planned by the Lord for suffering in the material world through the agency of external energy. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 1861, it is said, Ishvara sarva bhutanam riddheshu arjuna tishthati brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudhani maya. The Supreme Lord is situated in everyone's heart, O Arjuna, and is directing the wanderings of all living entities who are seated as on a machine made of material energy. Now, this is very much clear for all of us that Krishna is situated in everyone's heart. So, this is 1861. There's another shloka from 15th chapter, 15th verse, which says, Sarvasya chaham riddhi sannivishto. I am situated in everyone's heart. In this particular shloka, Krishna is saying that Brahmayan sarva bhutani yantra rudani maya. I direct them physically to different things and different activities. In that shloka, he is saying, Matta smritir jnanam apohanamcha. So this shloka says physically he makes people wander, and there in that shloka he is saying that subtly I am the one who gives remembrance, forgetfulness and knowledge. So you can imagine, so Krishna is controlling within and without at two places. A material body is manufactured by the external energy according to the direction of Supreme Personality of Godhead. So in the previous verses it's very clear to all of us that external energy, that is the material energy of the Lord, so that is not independent. That is under It works under the order of Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conditioned soul being seated on this machine wanders throughout the universe, and because of his bodily conception of life, he only suffers. Now the body that we have got is compared to a yantra, a machine. And it's very, very valid. You look at our body, it's equivalent to say a car. So car has got headlights, we have got eyes. This body has got eyes. Car has got horn, and sometimes our mouth is also like horn. And then the car needs fuel, and we also, you know, feed our stomach. And the car has wheels, and we have legs. Car has radiator, and we have got or the engine, and we have got the heart, which pumps the blood. So in this way, we see there's a lot of similarity, you know, when it comes to both. So the point that is made here is our body is just like any other machine. That's it. And you see, machine needs some rest. So this machine also needs some rest. And once in a while, what do you call that as? When you give some machine for, when a bike for, anyways, you got it, right? So when you give the bike for servicing, yes. So this body also needs some servicing. So that servicing happens, yes. Service center, yes. So that servicing is needed. So in this way, we see that in various ways, this body is equivalent to a machine. And so a machine cannot work by itself. A car cannot just drive just like that. So a driver is needed. Similarly, this body, which is like a machine, needs a driver. And that driver is spirit soul. So we are there in the body. And super soul is also there in the body, who is directing us how this body should go, right? The conditioned soul being seated on this machine wanders throughout the universe, and because of his bodily conception life, he only suffers. Actually, the suffering of being blasphemed and the enjoyment of being praised, the acceptance of a good welcome or of chastisement by harsh words are felt in the material conception of life. But since the body of Supreme Personality of God is not material but Sachidananda Vigraha, he is unaffected by insults or greetings, blasphemy or prayers. This is very clear in our the previous verses, that when it comes to this human form, why is it that we are suffering? Why is it that we are suffering? Only one reason, because we have accepted this temporary body to be ourself. So like, for example, so this laptop belongs to me. I am not this laptop. So if I can start considering the laptop to be myself, you know, then I'll face a lot of problem. And the battery is down, then I'll start feeling, oh, I am down. Nowadays, when it comes to mobile phones, people consider themselves as mobile phones. If a mobile phone is lost, people are going crazy. And even if the mobile phone is there, but internet is not there, people go crazy. Haven't you noticed that? Because we are considering that to be ourselves. Now just imagine, from so many lifetimes we have been there in this body. So don't you think that we'll be considering this body as ourselves? And just because of this, like for example, suppose a person comes to you and, you know, he says, you're looking very ugly. Now when he's saying that you're looking very ugly, so whom is he talking about? He's talking about the body. He's not talking about us. So why is it that we should get really agitated by those words? And sometimes people come and say, oh, you're looking very handsome, you're looking very beautiful. And we start, yes, me. Are, you're not the one, you're inside the body. You're inside the body, and that person cannot see also. Like when someone dies, people say, yes, passed away. Are, body is there. Who has passed away? They have not seen the person within any time of their life. And they're saying that person has passed away. So it's very, very clear that this body is just a machine, and we are there in this body. But unfortunately, since we have accepted this body as ourself, what is happening? Anything and everything that affects this body, anything and everything that glorifies this body or blasphemes this body or welcomes or chastises this body, we take it to ourselves. Oh, how can he say this to me? He has not told you. He has just told this body, which is a machine. Now, next time you don't go and blaspheme someone, and if he gets angry, I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to your body. That will not work. Yes. So this is the problem. This is the only problem. So you see, the one who is enlightened, the one who has realized God, or one who has self-realized, one who is self-realized. What do you mean by self-realized? Today we'll try to understand what do you mean by self-realized. So when you say that a person is self-realized, it means he has realized that he is not the body, spirit, soul. Simple. Can you imagine? All of us can become self-realized in no time. If we understand that we are not this body, we are spirit, soul. And anyone who is self-realized, he is sama, he is equipoised in every situation, because he understands that this body is going through problems, not me. I'm spirit, soul, I'm eternal. I'm part and parcel of Krishna. I'm Satchit Ananda. I'm full of bliss always. Now, why should I really bother about anything? But a person like us, who is completely engrossed in this material life and assumes this body to be ourself, oh, we go crazy. We go crazy with small, small things around, little things here and there, and we get completely disturbed. So it is said, self-realization is a means to attain that eternal peace. Even when we are there in this body, we can be peaceful. We can be undisturbed. We can be stable throughout. If we just realize that I am not the body and spirit soul. And what is the quality of spirit soul? The quality of spirit soul is eternal servant of Krishna. Bas, itna realization chahiye. Only this much of realization and the person can be happy throughout his life. He can be stable throughout his life. Just can you imagine only this much? And Prabhupada talks about this in all his lectures. He talks about in all his purports. Because just by this realization, a person can become peaceful and stable. And then it's very easy to attain Krishna. Moving ahead. But when it comes to Supreme Personality, he doesn't have a material body. He's completely spiritual. So he doesn't get affected by all these things. Being always unaffected and complete, he does not feel extra pleasure when offered nice prayers by devotee, although the devotee benefits by offering prayers to the Lord. Indeed, the Lord is very kind to his so-called enemy, because one who always thinks of the personality of Godhead as an enemy also benefits. Although he thinks of the Lord adversely. If a conditioned soul thinking of the Lord as an enemy or a friend somehow or other becomes attached to the Lord, he receives great benefit. So here Prabhupada reveals the suspense in this particular line. How come Shishupal got delivered? Anyways, we'll elaborate on this particular line. So here it's very clear. When a devotee offers prayer, or someone offers blasphemy, or someone blasphemes the Lord, it hardly matters to the Lord. He doesn't take it to himself. And similar are Lord's devotees. Now when we start worshipping Krishna, and then we give up worshipping demigods, so at that time we start thinking, "Arey, they will feel bad. They will feel bad if I don't worship them." And they are not like us. Demigods, they are also living entities, but they are not like us. They are on a very, very high platform, and they are spiritually realized souls. It hardly matters to them. It hardly matters to them, yes, about all these things. Who is worshipping and who is not worshipping. So this thought itself from the head has to be removed. Oh, that deity will feel bad. This deity will feel bad. Nothing like that. Just by worshipping Krishna, everyone in the entire creation becomes satisfied. Everyone. This is a very, very nice point to meditate on. Text 24, translation. My dear king, the conditioned soul, being in the bodily conception of life, considers his body to be his self and considers everything in relationship with the body to be his. This is what we discussed. Because he has this wrong conception of life, he is subjected to dualities like praise and chastisement. Purport. Only when a conditioned soul accepts the body as himself does he feel the effects of chastisement or praise. Then he determines one person to be his enemy and another his friend, and wants to chastise the enemy and welcome the friend. This creation of friends and enemies is a result of one's bodily conception of life. So that is the reason the sadhus, the self-realized people, they don't have any friend, they don't have any enemy. In fact, they consider everyone as a friend. There are no enemy. So one of the tag or one of the word that is given to the sadhus is ajatashatru. Ajatashatru means for whom the enemy is never born. So they don't have any enemy. Why? Because they're self-realized. They're not in the bodily conception of life. Hope this concept is clear, bodily conception of life, because a very, very important concept. The next verse, translation. because of the bodily conception of life, the conditioned soul thinks that when the body is annihilated, the living being is annihilated. Lord Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, is the Supreme Controller, the Super Soul of all living entities. Because he has no material body, he has no false conception of I and mine. It is therefore incorrect to think that he feels pleasure or pain when blasphemed or offered prayers. This is impossible for him. Thus he has no enemy and no friend. When he chastises the demons, it is for their good. And when he accepts the prayers of the devotees, it is for their good. He is affected neither by prayers nor by blasphemy. Let's read a long purport by Srila Prabhupada. A very nice purport. Because of being covered by material bodies, the conditioned souls, including even greatly learned scholars and falsely educated professors, all think that as soon as the body is finished, everything is finished. So this is the philosophy of atheistic people. And therefore, they have a tagline, enjoy, life is like an ice cream, lick it before it melts. For them, this life over means everything over. They don't understand there is a next life. They don't understand there was a previous life. Yes. So this is what is their philosophy. This is due to their bodily conception of life. Krishna has no such bodily conception, nor is his body different from himself. See, for us, our body is different, you know, from us. We have got a material body. Whereas Krishna, he and his body are non-different. No difference between he and his body, because his body is completely spiritual. Therefore, since Krishna has no material conception of life, how can he be affected by material prayers and acquisitions? Krishna's body is described here with as kaivalya, non-different from himself. Since everyone has a material bodily conception of life, if Krishna had such a conception, that would be the difference between Krishna and the conditioned soul. Krishna's instructions in Bhagavad Gita are accepted as final because he does not possess a material body. See, if suppose Krishna would have possessed a material body, then hearing a Bhagavad Gita from him is not correct, because anyone who possesses material body will speak his experiences with respect to the body. And this body will speak only relative experiences. There is no absolute thing about this body, right? Like for example, when our body is very hot and we touch something warmer, so we start feeling that particular thing to be cool, right? Because our temperature is higher than the temperature of that particular water. So it's relative. Our body is all relative. Our senses are relative. So when someone has a material body, he cannot speak absolute thing. Not possible only. So if Krishna would have had a material body, then there is no question of believing in Bhagavad Gita, which is given by him. Why are we believing in Bhagavad Gita given by Krishna? Because he spoke Bhagavad Gita in his original absolute form. In his original absolute spiritual form, Satchidananda Vigraha, that particular form. So we are taking this Bhagavad Gita as it is. As soon as one has a material body, he has four deficiencies. But since Krishna does not possess a material body, he has no deficiencies. I hope everyone knows the four deficiencies of ourselves. First, imperfect senses. Our senses are imperfect. Example, we cannot see outside the visible range. Like if suppose we switch off the light and it's dark, we cannot see. But that doesn't mean things don't exist. So our sense is imperfect. Then second one is getting illusioned. We get easily illusioned in this world. Mirage in the desert is an example. Then tendency of committing mistake. So we easily commit mistake. There is no need of any prerequisite. Very easily we commit mistakes. And the final one is tendency to cheat. For our own benefit, we are ready to cheat ourselves also. Ourselves, others, everyone around. So these are the four defects. So that is the reason, you know, this material body is not fit to manufacture some new philosophy. So nowadays, when people are manufacturing new philosophy, writing philosophical and spiritual books, they are good for nothing. Those books are not good for, the books are good for nothing, and person himself who is writing is good for nothing. Because he himself is imperfect. How can he write something which is spiritual? Or how can he write something which is transcendental? Only a person who comes in the parampara has that authority to write a commentary on various spiritual or various shastras. Because he speaks directly what Krishna speaks through the parampara. But a person who does not come in parampara, who is having a material body, how can he create a new philosophy? And how, even after creating a new philosophy, how can a person give a guarantee that this philosophy will actually take me back home, back to Godhead? Impossible. Impossible. That is the reason a person who comes in parampara, even though he possesses a material body, he can be trusted upon. But a person who does not come in parampara, he cannot be trusted upon. Impossible. In fact, Prabhupada says in one of the purport that, I have no qualification. I have no qualification to write a commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. But the only qualification that I have, or the only credit that I would take for myself, is I have presented Bhagavad Gita as it is according to the disciplic succession. This is what Prabhupada says. That is the reason what we are reading is bona fide. Or else there is no use of reading such things. There are many, many people writing books and commenting on Ramayana. I read the first page in one foolish author's book. He says the paragraph only starts like this. Ram and Lakshman were very hungry and they killed a deer and they were eating the flesh of a deer. Now what what this materialistic person who is writing, you know, about Lord Ram's Leela, what the hell he understands about Lord Ram? Who the hell he is to comment on Lord Ram? Just for TRP, just for creating some masala, people write such books, and foolish people, you know, who read, they believe in it and they ask questions also. And there are a lot of Quora questions and, you know, other places on Google. They ask this question: was Lord non-vegetarian? Lord Ram non-vegetarian? Is Lord crazy to eat non-veg? Is he crazy to eat a dead body, flesh and blood? This is a very, very important thing that we all have to understand, that we cannot keep faith on books written by materialistic people because they have these four defects which we just discussed. And their words and their books are good for nothing. They will go to hell and take us also with them. So we have to be very, very careful. What are we hearing? From whom are we hearing? And what are we reading? Is it authentic? Is it bona fide? Does it come in the disciplic succession or not? Yes. Continuing. He is always spiritual, spiritually conscious and blissful. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Please repeat the shloka. I think we are going to buy out the shloka. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Sachidananda Vigraha. Anadiradir Govinda. Sarvakarana Karanam. So what does that mean? Ishvara Parama Krishna. His form is eternal, blissful, knowledgeable. Sachidananda Vigraha, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa and Kaivalya are the same. Krishna can expand himself as Paramatma in the core of everyone's heart. In Bhagavad Gita 13.3, this is confirmed. Shretragyam Chapi Mam Vidhi Sarva Shetreshu Bharata. The Lord is the Paramatma, the Atma or Super Self of all individual souls. Therefore, it must naturally be concluded that he has no defective bodily conceptions. Although situated in everyone's body, he has no bodily conception of life. Can you imagine this? We are there in one body and we are going crazy. This is me. This is mine. Mama and Mameti, this is so prominent. But see, Krishna is there in everyone's body. But then he doesn't have bodily conception of life. This is very, very wonderful. And then he said, he is always free from such conceptions. And thus he cannot be affected by anything in relation to the material body of the jiva. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 16:19, Tan aham dushataha kruran samsareshu naradhaman shipamya ajashram ashubhan asurishva eva yonishu. Those who are envious and mischievous, who are lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence, into various demonic species of life. Whenever the Lord punishes persons like demons, however, such punishment is meant for the good of the conditioned soul. The conditioned soul, being envious of Supreme Personality of Godhead, may accuse him, saying, Krishna is bad, Krishna is a thief, and so on. But Krishna, being kind to all living entities, does not consider such acquisitions. Instead, he takes account of conditioned souls chanting of Krishna, Krishna, so many times. So what do we chant? Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. How many times? 16 into 108. He sometimes punishes such demons for one life by putting them in a lower species. But then, why they have stopped accusing him. They are liberated in the next life because of chanting Krishna's name constantly. So, you know, here Prabhupada is talking about all of us. Blaspheming the Supreme Lord or his devotee is not at all good for conditioned soul. But Krishna, being very kind, punishes the conditioned soul in one life for such sinful activities and takes him back home, back to Godhead. The vivid example for this is Vritrasura, who was formerly Chitraketu Maharaj, a great devotee. Because he derided Lord Shiva, the foremost of all devotees, he had to accept a body of a demon called Vrita. But then he was taken back to Godhead. Thus, when Krishna punishes a demon or conditioned soul, he stops that soul's habit of blaspheming him. And when the soul becomes completely pure, the Lord takes him back to Godhead. People ask this question that dunya banane wale kahi ko aise dunya banai? Why did you create a world like this? You could have created sukhalayam. Why did you create dukhalayam? Because we are in a jail. And jail cannot be sukhalayam. And this body that we have got is a cloth which is given to us, or a uniform that is given to us in the jail. Now we cannot ask a question, why there is no AC in the jail? Why we are not getting chappan bhog in the jail? Why is it that this floor is so dirty? And so on and so forth. This is jail. So we have to suffer. And why is the suffering needed? Why a suffering or punishment is given to a person who has committed a crime? So that he transforms his life. He transforms his heart and then he comes out of the jail. Same thing. The impurities within our heart, lust, anger, greed, envy, pride, illusion, because of this contamination, now we have been put here. So that now we get purified. And when we get purified, then we are eligible to go back home, back to Godhead. That is the only reason we are here in this world called Dukkhalayam. And every moment we are suffering. But still, many of the people don't understand only that they're suffering. Yes. They feel, oh, everything is nice, things are going well. How are you? Extremely fine. Extremely fine. This is a statement that people say. Yes. So we have to be very clear. See, sometimes people say that this world is defective. This world is not defective. This world has got a purpose. Like, for example, if I take my Kindle and then, you know, suppose I take my Kindle and start saying, oh, why am I not able to call from my Kindle? Kindle is meant for reading a book. How can I call from Kindle? So Kindle has a purpose. Whereas the phone has another purpose of calling. Nowadays, phone has got everything, but major thing is about calling and, you know, being connected to people. So in this way, this world, you know, people call it as defective sometimes. But we have to understand one thing, that this world is not defective. It has got a purpose. And what is that purpose? The purpose is to transform the living entity's heart and take that living entity back home, back to Godhead. Only for this reason. Only for this reason this world is created. But unfortunate situation is we forget the goal that we have to transform our heart and we get into some other goals of life, of sense gratification. Oh, today I'm doing sense gratification like this. I have to enhance this. Let me do enhanced sense gratification tomorrow. So everyone plans like this day in and day out how to do better sense gratification. Right. So this is very, very clear to all of us. This world is Dukkhalayam. It has been made to punish all of us so that we go through that punishment and transform our heart. And look at this punishment. You know, so nice. How is this punishment? We have got this material body, so punishment is there. But when we come to devotional service, we don't feel any punishment. It is so blissful. You chant the holy names of Krishna. You have Krishna Prasadam. You hear Bhagavatam. You hear Krishna Leela. You dance in ecstasy with devotees. Where is punishment here? So that this is punishment of Krishna. Even punishment is blissful. Getting a human form. But the only thing is, if you don't come to bhakti, then no, that is really terrible. But when you come to bhakti, when you realize now what it is, when you start practicing bhakti, even this material form becomes very, very blissful. So that's what is spoken here, that this world is Dukkhalayam, or this world is made for punishment. Where is that? Oh, I skipped. Yeah. Going to the next verse, text 26. Now, this verse actually tells us why Shishupal got delivered. And this is the final thing. Let's see, what's that? Translation. Therefore, by enmity or by devotional service, by fear, by affection, or by lusty desires, by all of these or any one of them, if a conditioned soul somehow or other concentrates his mind upon the Lord, the result is same for the Lord because of his blissful position is never affected by enmity or friendship. This is a very big revelation for all of us today. What does it say? If by enmity, first, enmity, or by bhakti, by fear, by affection, or by any lusty desire, if a person gets attached to Krishna by any five of them, that person is eligible to go back to Godhead. And here the answer for Yudhishthira Maharaj's question is very clear. What is the answer? Shishupal was attached to Krishna in the mood of enmity. Let's have more insights to this. Let's see what Prabhupada is saying. Purport. From this verse, one should not conclude that because Krishna is unaffected by favorable prayers or unfavorable blasphemy, one should therefore blaspheme the Supreme Lord. See, this has to be very clear. Now, tomorrow onwards, we shouldn't go to the altar. Instead of offering prayers, we start offering, start blaspheming the Lord. That's not good. This is not regulative principle. Bhakti Yoga means Anukulyena Krishna Anushilanam. One should serve Krishna very favorably. This is the real injunction. Here it is said that although an enemy thinks of Krishna unfavorably, the Lord is unaffected by such anti-devotional service. Thus he offers his benediction even to Shishupal and similarly inimical conditioned soul. This does not mean, however, that one should be inimical towards the Lord. The stress is given to the favorable execution of devotional service, not purposeful blasphemy of the Lord. See, if someone blasphemes the Lord or someone becomes enemy of the Lord, still that person can go back, come back to Godhead. Okay. But the problem is, a person should become enemy like Hiranyakashipu, Hiranyaksha, Ravana, Kumbhakarna, or Kans Maharaj, Shishupal, or Dantavakra, like that enemy should be. Nowadays, the atheistics are like machad. They are like mosquitoes here and there. This go around. Do something by which this entire world, you know, be shaken completely. And then Supreme Personality of God personally comes to kill you. Do something like that being atheistic. Nowadays, atheistic people, only they have only one thing. Write some post, put it on the Google. Put it on some social media. God doesn't exist. And come for a meeting together and say God doesn't exist. And discuss some logic behind. What is the use of this? Now you'll become a worm in a stool in next life. You know, if you're an atheist like this, become a big atheist. Atheist should be so big that just by hearing the name of that atheistic person, people should tremble. The demigod should tremble. And then Vishnu himself, you know, should be triggered to come to this material world and kill that person. Then it is called as atheistic. So that is the reason that nowadays, these atheistic people, the only destination of them is, you know, to become a, you know, go to hell or become a worm in the stool. That's it. They don't have any other future apart from this. So it is said, Nindanam Bhagavata Shrinvams Tat Parasya Janasyava Tato Napaiti Yaha Sopi Yatyadaha Shukrata Chutaha. One who hears blasphemy of Supreme Personality of Godhead or his devotee should immediately take action or should leave. Otherwise, he will be put into hellish life perpetually. There are many such injunctions. Therefore, as a regulative principle, one should not be unfavorable towards the Lord, but always favorably inclined towards him. Because there is no point of hearing blasphemy of the Lord. Already we are contaminated. We hear more blasphemy of the Lord, we get more contaminated. Yes? So we have to hear more glorification of the Lord. When we hear glorification of the Lord, then it actually enhances our love for Krishna in the mood of bhakti. Or else, no, only thing that will happen is we'll go away from Krishna. And how? And even if we go away from Krishna and if we become enemies, we cannot become big enemies like Ravana, Kumbhakarna and others. If we go away from Krishna and become very big enemies, then there's no problem. But the thing is, we can never become an enemy like that. Never. We are small. Chutku se log hai hum log. Very, very small, minute people around. If someone sees us from a heavenly planet, we'll not even be visible. What about heavenly planet? Now, from the plane, when you look down, nothing is seen. Our building is also not seen. What to talk about us in the building, right? So that is the point that is made here. That when it comes to us, we have to do bhakti favorably. Hear glories of Krishna and not blasphemy. Shishupal's achievement of oneness with Supreme Lord was different. Because Jay and Vijay, from the very beginning of their material existence, were ordained to treat the Supreme Lord as an enemy for three lives and then return home back to Godhead. Jay and Vijay inwardly knew that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, but they purposely became his enemies to be delivered from material life. From the very beginning of their lives, they thought of Lord Krishna as an enemy, and even though blaspheming Lord Krishna, they chanted the holy name of Krishna constantly along with their inimical thoughts. Thus, they were purified because of chanting the holy name of Krishna. It is to be understood that even a blasphemer can be freed from sinful activities by chanting the holy name of the Lord. Certainly, therefore, freedom is assured for a devotee who is always favorable to the service of the Lord. This will be clear from the following verse. By rapt attention fixed upon Krishna, one is purified and thus one is delivered from material life. Now see, one thing we have to understand here is with whatever mood a person is calling Krishna, that person will surely get purified. That's very, very nice, very, very important. So when a person says Krishna, when he starts chastising people, "Arey, toh Krishna ka bhakta hai, isliye aise ho gaya." Still that person will get some purification. Or someone is laughing and creating humor, saying, "These Hare Krishnas like this only they are." The chanting Hare Krishna. Or you go to preach someone saying, "Krishna ke bhakt bano, become a devotee of Krishna," and he says, no, "I don't know who is Krishna." He gets purified. What happens is, some or the other time, he will become a devotee for sure. There is no doubt about that. In fact, in ISKCON, we have seen that there are various categories of people who come. Different modes. Everyone has got a different mode. Sometimes people are really eager. They're searching for Krishna, so they come. Sometimes people, they are just inquisitive, so they come. There are some people who just come like that. Okay, chalo, bada temple jaate, dekhte kya hai. There are many, many people who have become devotees. And if you ask them, "How did you become devotees?" So they would say this one very nice thing. "I came on a Sunday evening and there was a nice kirtan that was going on. At the end, they distributed nice pineapple halwa or nice prasad. And just by having that, I became a devotee." There's a nice real-time pastime. This happened in one of the foreign countries in one of our ISKCON temples. So one boy would come, one person would come every single day to the temple. He was not a devotee. So what the pujari was doing was, every day he would give him a nice sweet laddu, special laddu that was offered to the Lord. Every day he would give that. Yes. Then this person thought that, "See, I'm coming from outside and every day I'm getting laddu. What if I start staying here in this temple? If I start staying here in the temple, then I can have a lot of laddus and I can do so many other things here." Yes. And then that person joined the temple as a brahmachari. Yes. Look at the motivation of people to do bhakti. And then when he joined as a brahmachari, then the pujari came and he gave the laddu to him. And then he was about to eat, then pujari held his hand and he said, "You're not supposed to eat. Go and give this laddu to that person." Yes. So there are many, many people who have become devotees just because they came like that. Just came like that. They didn't have any devotion in their heart. They just came like that, had prasad, and they became devotees. There's another person, a CID officer. So he was sent to one of our ISKCON temples. And then his investigation became so intense that he started staying with devotees and investigating. Yes. And after a few months, he became a devotee by himself. So these devotees are like contagious. Okay, we can say it as corona. You just come in touch with a devotee, you become a devotee. Simple. There was another person who saw in one of the photos in the newspaper that Prabhupada's photo was there and Prabhupada had a watch. And he saw that watch and it was a very nice, beautiful watch. So this thief, he thought, "This old man, why is he wearing this watch? Let me steal this watch from him." So with this mood, he came to the temple where Prabhupada was there. He found out where he is and then he went to that particular temple. And then he went to the temple. And now, see, he cannot just be a thief. Now he has to, if he wants to stay in the temple, he has to stay as a monk. So his head was shaven and then he was given some specific uniform to wear. And then he was given some service. And there's a schedule that has to be followed. Get up at 4 o'clock and then attend 4:30 Aarti. Then from 5 to 7, chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Yes, and so on and so forth. And have prasad only. You cannot eat anything else. Then this person started doing that, but every time he would keep looking at the watch of Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada would come give class. He would hear the class, but at the same time, the watch would glitter. You know, his eyes was glitter looking at the watch. So still that mood was there that I want to steal. And then somehow by some arrangement, he started doing personal service of Srila Prabhupada. What is the mood of the person? One day I will steal the watch of this old man. This was the mood, you know, that was there. But then the problem is, he was staying with devotees. And he was doing something called as devotional service unknowingly. Yes. And then, you know, he started serving Srila Prabhupada. And it went on for a long time. It went on for many months together when he became personal servant of Srila Prabhupada. And finally, one day, now, when he was looking at the watch of Srila Prabhupada, Prabhupada looked at him and then said, "Do you want it?" And the thief, who had now become a devotee, he said, "No, Prabhupada, I don't want it." Can you imagine how people have become devotees? Yes. See, this is called as potency of bhakti. This is called as potency of Krishna. So you come with whatever mood to Krishna, by default, you will get purified. By default. So that is called as Vastu Shakti. What do you mean by Vastu Shakti? Like the Vastu Shakti of fire is to burn. Now, even if you go with love, with a good mood and with a loving attitude and you go and embrace fire, you'll get burnt. You go with enmity, mood of enmity, you'll get burnt. Or with lot of love and affection. There's a bare electrical wire, you know, which has come out, the live electrical wire. And with a lot of love, you touch the wire. Same thing is going to happen. Same thing is going to happen. Yes. Or you touch with enmity. I will teach this wire lesson. And then you hold that. Same thing is going to happen. You get stuck to the wire. Why? Because Vastu Shakti. The Vastu Shakti of the electricity is to give electrical shock. The Vastu Shakti of fire is to burn the person. Similarly, the Vastu Shakti of Krishna is to purify anyone and everyone who comes closer to Krishna. Look at the mercy of Krishna. Look at the mercy of Krishna. Who in this entire world, in this entire creation can be like Krishna? Anyone comes to blaspheme him and he says, "Krishna, you're like this. Krishna, you're like this. Krishna, you're like that." Since he's saying Krishna, 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 the person gets purified. That's what happened to Shishupal. Krishna dances with gopis. Krishna was a thief. Krishna did this. Krishna did that. Krishna did this. Krishna did that. What happened at the end? He got so attached to blaspheming Krishna by telling his name. Finally, his destination was Krishna. He went back home, back to Godhead. So now the question is, the point that Prabhupada is making here is that if by any mood a person comes to practice devotional service or to comes closer to Krishna, he gets purified, then what to talk about those devotees? What to talk about those devotees who have taken a vow to chant every single day 16 rounds of Hare Krishna Maha Mantra? What to talk about those devotees? What to talk about those devotees who prepare bhoga for Krishna every single day with so much of love and affection? What to talk about those devotees? What to talk about those devotees who just want to hear about Krishna and just dedicate one's life to Krishna? What to talk about those devotees? Can you imagine what will be the destination of those devotees? I mean, all of you all. What will be the destination? Acharyas, when they think about Putana getting delivered by Krishna, who came with a mood of killing Krishna and she got delivered, acharyas are thinking, "Are bapre, what is Krishna going to give to all those devotees who are attending Zoom class every single day, who serve Krishna with so much of love and affection, who chant the holy names of Krishna every single day? What is the destination that Krishna is going to give them?" Bapre, Krishna doesn't have anything to give them. Only thing that Krishna can do is just take them back home, back to Godhead, and become their servants. Become their servant. That's it. Can you imagine what is the status that is given to all of us when we are practicing bhakti? Anyone who just comes to Krishna just like that with any mood, that person gets purified. And us, look at us. Every single day we have a schedule. So and so number of rounds we chant. And so aarti we attend. Only prasadam we have. We hear Srimad Bhagavatam. We read Srimad Bhagavad Gita. We attend Bhakti Vrikshas, we attend Bhagavatam classes. What is our destination? For sure we are going back home, back to God. For sure. But there is a small catch. Anyways, I'll come to that. Now, there's a catch here. But for sure, we're going back home, back to Godhead. You know, with that one catch, if we just solve that, we're going back home, back to Godhead. We'll attain Krishna for sure. For sure. If Putana can attain Krishna, if Shishupal can attain Krishna, why can't devotees like us? Why can't we attain Krishna? Even we can attain Krishna. No problem. There's no doubt about it. Many, many people say, अरे ये भगवान को पाना बहुत मुश्किल है, बहुत मुश्किल है. कैसे पाएंगे भगवान को? भगवान दिखाई नहीं देते. It's very difficult. They say that it's very difficult to attain Krishna. How will we attain Krishna? He's not visible also. Such people, they don't know the glories of bhakti. They don't know the glories of bhakti. And they don't know glories of Krishna. They don't know glories of Krishna. So bhakti is something which attracts the attention of Krishna. And when anyone starts practicing bhakti, Krishna gets attracted to that person and starts seeing who is that person. Who is that person who is hearing Bhagavatam? Who is that person who is chanting the holy name of the Lord? Who is that person who has dedicated his life for me? Krishna is very much interested in those people. Yes. So you see, our current position is a very, very blissful position. We all have got a very blissful status in our life of being called as devotees of Krishna. Very, very blissful position. But the thing is, we have to take it seriously. If people like Shishupal and Putana, only because they were attached to Krishna with a mood of enmity, they could get delivered, then why can't devotees like us could get delivered if we are attached to Krishna in the mood of bhakti? For sure. For sure. So in this way, that's what Prabhupada is saying, that freedom is assured for a devotee who is always favorable to the service of the Lord. Simple. So, and the next line he says, this will be clear in the following verse. By rapt attention fixed upon Krishna, one is purified and thus one is delivered from material life. Congratulations to everyone. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur has very nicely explained the word bhayana. Bhayana means fear, which means fear. When the gopis went to Krishna in the dead of night, they certainly feared chastisement by their relatives, their husbands, brothers and fathers. But nonetheless, not caring for their relatives, they went to Krishna. There was certainly fear, but this fear could not check their devotional service to Krishna. One should not mistakenly think that Lord Krishna must be worshipped by an inimical attitude like that of Shishupal. So I think I've cleared this to everyone. So we cannot become enemies like Shishupal. Impossible. We are mosquitoes, or much lower than mosquitoes in front of Krishna. So we cannot do what Shishupal did. The injunction is anukulasya grahanam pratikulyasya varjanam. One should give up unfavorable activities and accept only favorable conditions in devotional service. Generally, if one blasphemes the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is punished. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita 16:19, tan aham dvishat. I think we recited the shloka sometime just back. Yes. There are many such injunctions. One should not try to worship Krishna unfavorably. Otherwise, he must be punished at least for one life to be purified. As one should not try to be killed by embracing an enemy, a tiger or a snake, one should not blaspheme the Supreme Personality of Godhead and become his enemy in order to be put into hellish life. The purpose of this verse is to emphasize that even the enemy of the Lord can be delivered, not to speak of his friend. Srila Madhvacharya also says in many ways that one should not blaspheme Lord Vishnu through one's mind, words or actions. For a blasphemer will go to hellish life along with his forefathers. So this is what is the shloka that is mentioned here. So if you really want your forefathers to go to hell, then this is what is the technique. This is what is the tip that Madhvacharya gives. So in Bhagavad Gita 16:19-20, the Lord says, those who are envious and mischievous, who are lowest among men, are cast by me into the ocean of material existence into various demonic species of life. Attaining repeated birth amongst the species of demonic life, such person can never approach me. Gradually, they sink down to the most abominable type of existence. This is all a very nice statement Krishna is making. But unfortunately, he's so merciful that he doesn't do that. You know, he puts people to this place which is like hellish planet. And then he is the one who, as Paramatma, inspires the person to take up bhakti. Yes, this is the mercy of the Lord. One who blasphemes the Lord is put into a family of asuras in which there is every chance of forgetting the service of the Lord. Lord Krishna further states in Bhagavad Gita, Avajananti mamuda manushim tanumashrita param bhava majananto mam bhuta maheshwaram. Mudas, rascals, blaspheme the Supreme Lord because he appears exactly like a human being. They do not know the unlimited opulence of Supreme Personality of God. See, anyone who understands unlimited potency of Krishna can never blaspheme him. He will fall in love with Krishna. See, in this world, we fall in love with so many people around. Why? Either they are very beautiful or very handsome. They might be very, very opulent. They might be very strong. They might be very knowledgeable and so on and so forth. Just imagine Krishna has all of that combined to the fullest. Tell me, who will not love Krishna? Who will not love Krishna? Only those who don't know about Krishna. Anyone who attends, you know, classes like this, which talks about Tattva of Krishna, can never ever take a step back from loving Krishna. Never ever. Not possible. Not possible at all. So it is said, anything done by those who have taken the attitude of enemies will be baffled. If these enemies try to be liberated or to merge into the existence of Brahman, if they desire to be elevated to the higher planetary systems as karmis, or even if they desire to return back home to Godhead, they will certainly be baffled. As for Hiranyakashipu, although he was extremely inimical towards the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he always thought of his son, who was a great devotee. So this is the suspense that Prabhupada revealed here itself. First time we have got the name Hiranyakashipu. And how did Hiranyakashipu get delivered? He was thinking about two people. He was thinking about Vishnu and he was thinking about Vishnu's devotee, that is Prahlad. Therefore, by the grace of his son Prahlad Maharaj, Hiranyakashipu was also delivered by Supreme Personality of Godhead. The conclusion is that one should not give up pure devotional service. For one's own benefit, one should not imitate Hiranyakashipu or Shishupal. This is not the way to achieve success. So this is very clear to all of us. By doing this blissful path of bhakti, by following the blissful path of bhakti, we'll enjoy in our day-to-day life by doing bhakti, and at the end, or before that itself, we'll attain Krishna. See, one thing is very clear, that what was there with Shishupal, Hiranyakashipu, Kans Maharaj and others, that we are missing. The catch that I was talking about, let me tell you about that. I don't know if that will come in future verses, but anyways, we'll discuss. So the catch here is, Shishupal was intensely blaspheming Krishna. Intensely. Every now and then he would blaspheme Krishna. Every now and then. He would just sit and the only thing he would start speaking is Krishna is like this, Krishna is like that. The only thing that he would do is blaspheme Krishna to such an extent, even in the sleep he would murmur. What he would murmur? Blasphemy of Krishna. When it comes to Kans Maharaj, you know, it will come in future verses. Who are the different people who have attained success by fear, lust and so on and so forth. When it comes to Kans Maharaj, he was a person who was fearful. He was so fearful that when he would be eating roti also, chapati also, he would think, oh, Krishna might come from this chapati. And then he would tell, before doing any activity, he would ask all his soldiers, make sure all the doors and windows are closed. When he would be drinking water and looking at the water, only thing that he would be reminded of is Krishna, and then he'd suddenly throw the glass. Yes, this is called intense fear. Intense fear. So these people have done intense inimical things, inimical actions, intense fearful actions. So they attained Krishna. Now when it comes to bhakti, so bhakti has to have this intensity. Tivrena bhakti yogena mano mai arpitam sthiram. So by doing intense devotional service, we can attain Krishna. This is the catch. This is the catch. That is the reason that many, many people, they do attain Krishna, but it takes good number of lifetimes. But if we are those people who want to attain Krishna this very lifetime, as soon as possible, then our intensity in bhakti should rise and rise and rise like a ramp wave, just going up. Not like a sinusoidal wave. Upar gaye phir niche, upar gaye phir niche. No. With the help of a senior devotee, we just hold the hands of the devotee, follow the instructions of the devotee and keep going, increasing the intensity like a ramp wave. So the catch is intensity in bhakti. So we have to be very, very intense in our devotional service. Very intense. So whenever we get time, like Shishupal, whenever he got time, only thing that he did was blaspheme. So that's what we have to achieve. Whenever we get time, only thing that we do is glorify Krishna, chant Krishna's holy names. Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. Every day morning, when we are doing our morning duties, every day, you know, in the washroom, it takes at least 20-30 minutes. Why don't we keep continuously chanting, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, 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 Hare Hare. when we are traveling to our workplace, you know, which is currently not valid, or when we are cooking, or when we are doing any activity for that matter, why don't we continuously chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare? Why don't we do that? Now I heard that since maidservants are not coming, even men, the husbands are also helping their spouse, you know, to clean the vessels and other things. Why don't we do that? Cleaning vessels. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. This is called intensity of bhakti. That day should come when at night, in the dream also we are chanting, and externally our mouth is moving and we are murmuring, and a person beside us should slap and say, shut your mouth. That day should come in our life also. Yes. Shishupal, even in his dream, he would blaspheme Krishna and he would keep murmuring and blaspheming Krishna. That's what is the stage that we have to reach. Even in the dream, we should be able to chant. Even in the sleep, we should be able to chant. Yes. So what to talk about when we are awake? That's by default. No, we have to chant when we are awake. Yes. So in this way, the catch is we have to become intense in our devotional service. Intense in our chanting. Increase our rounds. We have to increase our rounds and keep chanting more and more rounds. Come to 16 rounds as fast as possible. Mm-hmm. Tomorrow is Ekadashi. Ekadashi is Madhav Tithi. Madhav Tithi means a tithi exclusively meant for Krishna. Mm-hmm. Krishna is glorified on this particular day 24/7 by the devotee. I mean 24 hours by the devotee. Every moment the devotee, he just does one thing, that is chanting or glorifying Krishna, doing a devotional service. This is what we have to do tomorrow. Tomorrow is that day when we can be very, very intense in our devotional service. Tomorrow again we are doing Nam Yajna. Last Ekadashi we saw many devotees chanted 64 rounds, 32 rounds. Some devotees chanted 108 rounds, 128 rounds. Let's try. All the ones who are chanting 1 or 2 rounds, 4 rounds, try for 16, 25, 32 rounds. And you will see this will be a booster in our life, in our devotional life. All the ones who are chanting 16, try for 64. Very easy, not a big thing. Not a big thing. You just start, decide, take a sankalpa that I'm going to chant 64 rounds, 32 rounds, 25 rounds, whatever. And you know, start chanting. And you will see Krishna helps. Krishna helps. And then when you are literally tired, push yourself. Like we push, like suppose tomorrow is release or tape out in our company. We push ourselves like anything, right? Night, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock, you're working like anything. Same thing here. Same thing here we have to do. Intense. And like Shishupal attained Krishna, no doubt even we living entities, we human beings, we devotees can attain Krishna for sure. For sure. There is no doubt about that. There is no doubt about that. Yes. So in this way, we see that doing devotional service intensely is the key to attain Krishna. So, time up. So, we'll see the other verses on Tuesday. So, we'll meet again and we'll start discussing on this. So, if you have any questions, we'll discuss. Oh. Let me know if I missed any question, because there are a lot of Hare Krishnas in between, so I'm not able to see the question. Repose the question if I miss your question. Okay, the first question says, if blaspheming doesn't affect Krishna, why did Shishupal was killed for blaspheming? So see, Shishupal is one of the persons who is a dear associate of the Lord in Vaikuntha. Mm-hmm. And Krishna had to deliver him in some or the other way. Yes. So Krishna took a vow. That anytime he blasphemes, it's okay. But when he crosses 100, I'm going to kill him. So this is the vow that he took when it comes to Shishupal. And when it comes to Shishupal, so Krishna, this is one aspect. The other aspect is, it's not that his blasphemy is affecting Krishna. He wanted to deliver this envious soul. This was mercy of Krishna. For that reason, he killed Krishna. That was the only reason, or the most prominent reason. He wanted to deliver Shishupal. Yes. So that's what we've been discussing, right? So Prabhupada is repeating in all the purports till now that how Krishna is impartial. Material energy is Krishna's energy, but why Krishna creates different yugas with different type of people? In each yuga, can create one yuga with one type of people. See, when it comes to creating people, it's not Krishna who's creating people. So the external body is created, but the consciousness of the person, he himself develops that consciousness. he himself desires to become a demon, or he himself desires to be a nice devotee or a demigod. So a person who is really a very nice, pious person, he is given birth in Satyuga, or Treta Yuga, or Dwapar Yuga, which are golden periods. And people who are gone cases, they take birth in Kali Yuga, like all of us. Yes, so we belong to that category, what to do. Yes. But by Lord's mercy, by devotee's mercy, finally we have come to bhakti and we are practicing bhakti. So it's not that Lord purposely he creates different sort of people and then he puts, you go to Satyuga, you go to Treta Yuga, Dwapar Yuga. No, not like that. Yes. The thing is, we have created our consciousness, or we have modified our consciousness. It is said our consciousness was pure. But when we came in touch with the matter, now the tendency of enjoyment came into picture and we deteriorated or destroyed our consciousness. Destroyed is not a correct word. We contaminated our consciousness. We polluted our consciousness. Yes. So people who are very much, you know, greatly polluted, they are there in the age of Kali Yuga. People who are very much less polluted, they are in Satyuga. So less polluted to more polluted, in that gradation, in that different types of people are given birth in different yugas, all like that. Let's hope this answers your question. As we know, there are so many lokas like Brahma Loka, Swarga Loka, etc. Similarly, the spiritual world is only one or many. There are many, many, many spiritual planets. Many, many Vaikuntha planets. It is said that there are a lot of Vaikuntha planets. And in that, the topmost planet is Goloka Vrindavan. So which we all are aiming for, where Krishna does his pastimes. In Vaikuntha planets, Vishnu does his pastimes. There are planets where different incarnations of the Lord are there, who do their pastimes. Like some people are Narasimha Bhakta only. So they go to that planet, you know, where Narasimha Dev is situated. There are some devotees who are Ram Bhaktas. They go to that planet, eternal Ayodhya. Yes. And there are some devotees who likes Dwarkadish Krishna. Dwarkadish Krishna. They go to a planet which is Dwarka. So Dwarka is a planet. Mathura is a planet. And Goloka Vrindavan is a planet. So like that, there are many, many planets. In Srimad Bhagavatam, it is given. Yes. In Bhagavad Gita also mentioned that envy of the Lord is not tolerated. How do we understand that in relation to the point on enmity with the Lord? See, same thing. If you want to become enemies, then we have to become really big enemies, great enemies. There is no use of becoming small, you know, mosquitoes here and there, just buzzing around. There's no use of that. So big enemies have some scope of Krishna coming and killing. But small enemies, or no, they cannot be called as enemies also. These people are the ones who don't know glories of Krishna. As soon as you tell the glories of Krishna, they become devotees. What sort of atheistic people we have in Kali Yuga also? You know, little philosophy you give, they become devotees. Yes, many people are there. You know, many people in our group also. There are a few people who are atheistic. But little philosophy they understood about Krishna, they become devotees. So actually no one is atheist in this Kali Yuga. They just don't have knowledge. And out of their ego, they blaspheme Krishna. And because of that, they'll get impure. By blaspheming Krishna, they'll become impure. And they don't take Krishna's name. That's another problem. They just utilize their entire existence and saying that God is like this, God is like that, and so on and so forth. So this is a problem. This is a problem with atheistic people of this age. So this is the point, you know, that we have to understand. That if a person becomes an enemy and blasphemes Krishna day in and day out, 24/7, every single moment, pratikshana, such a person can be delivered. Shishupal is an example, simple. But people around who are blaspheming, you know, just once in a while or things like that, their only destination is hell. Because of blaspheming Krishna, the only thing is they are inviting more and more impurities within themselves. That is the problem. And what to talk about blaspheming a devotee? Krishna cannot tolerate. Krishna tolerates his own blasphemy because he doesn't get affected. But when someone blasphemes his devotees, he cannot tolerate. He cannot tolerate. Yes. Hope this answers your question. Let me know if it's not answered. As we discussed, Krishna is impartial to everyone. But in Bhagavad Gita, it is said that he comes to establish dharma whenever there's a lot of adharma in the society. If he's impartial, why does he come? See, when it comes to Krishna's impartiality, you know, we have discussed in the previous shlokas, his impartiality is in terms of giving mercy. So when he's coming also, his only goal is to give mercy to everyone, irrespective of who the person is. But the devotees are the ones who are those greedy people who take maximum mercy when Krishna comes. Devotees are the ones who are, you know, so much greedy that even after disappearance of Krishna, they read Bhagavatam, they relish so much and they eat and drink, you know, Bhagavatam like anything. That's what they do. So Krishna, when he comes here, he wants to attract each and every living entity. Each and every living entity. And Krishna says, what is that shloka which says, Yada yada hi dharmasya glanir bhavati bharata. Whenever there is decline in religion, I come. Because only if the religion is maintained, or when a person follows dharma, he can actually attain Krishna, go back, come back to Godhead. When the religion declines, then Krishna has to personally come to establish the religion. He has to come personally to establish the religion for the benefit of each and every living entity. If he doesn't do that, then people will go crazy. They'll become so demoniac. They'll not be blaspheming Krishna. They'll not be doing this. They'll be so just doing sense gratification, forgetting the existence of the Lord. So he comes to establish dharma. He comes to attract people. In fact, all this, what he's saying, paritranaya sadhunam vinashayacha duskrutam dharma sansthapanarthaya. So all this is just superficial reason that Krishna is giving, or formal reason that Krishna is giving for people in general. But the real reason is to attract people around. So when Krishna comes, he's so beautiful. He's so beautiful that, you know, even a person who is inimical, even he will get attracted. What to talk about Krishna in Dwapar Yuga? Even today, in ISKCON temples, when people, you know, when atheistic people come, they look at the beautiful form of Krishna and they're enamored. So beautiful. And then suddenly they realize, no, I'm an atheist. There was one atheist whom we met. So that person would come to ISKCON temple and he would sit there. And then one day he was asked, no, you're an atheist, why do you come here? He says, I feel a lot of peace here looking at this stone. The stone is very beautiful. So he's attracted to Krishna's form. And he's attracted to the peace given by the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. So Krishna comes with only one goal. That is to attract everyone and to give his mercy to everyone. But people who are intelligent harness that mercy. And people who are gone cases, they don't take that mercy. Simple. They are busy in their own sense gratification. Like for example, we don't make any distinction. When we are distributing Bhagavad Gita, when we are giving the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, we don't make any distinction. But there are people who are pious, they accept. And there are people who are impious or sinful, they don't accept. Similarly, when Krishna comes to give, there are two categories of people. So in this way, the crux of the entire thing that I spoke was, Krishna comes here to give his mercy equally to everyone by attracting everyone to spiritual world. What happens to the demons killed by demigods? Okay, what happens to demons killed by demigods? So depending on their own karma, the demigods will take birth. Again, you know, depends on what was their consciousness. But there are some demons who are killed by demigods like Indra, and they have attained Krishna. Because those demons were devotees in the past life who became demons due to some reason. Like Vritrasur, Prabhupada mentioned, right? One name, Vritrasur. He was Chitraketu Maharaj. So Chitraketu Maharaj was just going around. He was just going around in the forest. And he entered a place where Lord Shiva and Parvati were sitting with their associates. So Parvati was sitting on the lap of Lord Shiva. And Chitraketu Maharaj, he came and he started laughing and he started saying, "Are you going to maintain some distance, at least in a crowd?" And at that time, Parvati got very angry and she said, "You become a demon in the next life. You have demonic tendencies." And Chitraketu Maharaj was such a nice devotee. He said, "Whatever you say, I have no problem. I'm busy meditating on the Lord." So next life, he becomes Vritrasur. When Vritrasur, he started fighting with Indra. So Indra cut his arms, and then Indra cut different body parts. Still, at that time, Vritrasur was saying that I'm so fortunate that even at this moment, I'm able to meditate on the beautiful form of the Lord. You can kill me, no problem. At that time, Indra became confused. Am I killing a demon or am I killing a devotee? So the demons who finally attained some remembrance of the Lord by one or the other means and killed by the demigods, they have attained Krishna. Whereas other demons who have been killed by demigods, they have taken birth again in this material world. They have taken birth again in this material world. So, hope this answers your question. Why is it that mind is structured in such a way that it overwhelms the intellect? And super soul, even after Paramatma in full with knowledge, still let us be drowned into this material existence because of our karmic reaction, or are we cultivating more karma? As I already said, See, Paramatma is speaking. He is saying, "Arey, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. What are you doing?" But you know, we are so engrossed in doing sense gratification, we don't listen to what Paramatma is saying. And the problem with Paramatma or Krishna is he loves us so much, he doesn't force us. That's the problem. It doesn't force us, because wherever there is force, there is no love. And wherever there is love, there is no force. So Krishna loves us so much that he doesn't force us. Sometimes I feel that, why don't you force? You force us. Force us, take us back home, back to Godhead. Yes. So when it comes to our thought process, our mind, it overwhelms our intelligence only because we are not listening to Paramatma. But it is seen that anyone, any person who starts practicing bhakti, anyone who starts reading Shastra, that person's intelligence becomes very sharp and strong. And at that time, you know, that person can overcome the intricacies of mind very easily, very easily. Only because our mind is contaminated, only because we are not doing bhakti, this is only because of this, we are stuck in the cycle of karma. Only because of this. Hope this answers your question. Kamsa always fear of Krishna and thinking of Krishna every moment, so he got liberated. Means devotees can get liberation with fear instead of love towards Krishna. Yes, possible. But again, same thing. Intense fear should be there. It's not that you're doing something wrong and then you remember, oh, God exists. You're doing something wrong in seclusion and suddenly you remember, oh, God exists. No, not like that. Every moment, even while taking bath, the person should be fearful. Even while eating, he should be fearful. Even while walking, he should be fearful. If such a fear is there, then he can attain Krishna. But to get such a fear is very difficult because Krishna is so loving. How can we get fear from Krishna? Very difficult. Very difficult. And after reading Bhagavatam and his childhood pastimes, impossible to get fear of Krishna. In this age of Kali, people become fearful only at certain times in their life. Not all the time. 24/7, no. If a person wants to get closer to Krishna by fear, then 24/7 he has to be fearful. That is the point that is made here. So either fearful or inimical or lusty or bhakti, all this has to be intense to attain Krishna. That's what the shloka says that we just read. Hope this answers your question. Okay, today we had 91 participants. Or today is Sunday, so many people have come. One is devotees, we have to intensify our devotional service. If one is enemy of Krishna, we have to do intense enmity. Yes, nice realization. Basuraj gives the realization. Is the soul of a human different from soul of another human, or is the subtle body which is different? See, soul, spirit soul has the same quality. Satchit Ananda is eternal, he is full of bliss, he is knowledgeable. What is different is the subtle body. The mind intelligence is different. So depending on what is the desire of the person and what are his activities, the subtle body gets modified. The mind and intelligence, the subtle body gets modified. And accordingly, next life, the person gets such a body which facilitates his desires, which he had in the previous body. Yes. So when it comes to your soul, soul is is pure, and soul is Sachidananda Vigraha in everybody. Yes. So when it comes to the difference, then it's a subtle body, which is different. And that subtle body gives rise to the gross body. And so we see even gross bodies are different. Hope this answers your question. Which spiritual world is on the top of all? Or all the worlds are same level? Actually, Vrindavan, Goloka Vrindavan is topmost. That's what we read in Bhagavatam. Goloka Vrindavan is topmost as compared to Dwarka, Mathura, Ayodhya or Narsimha Loka or any. Sinful activities done by forefathers are transferred to us? No. It is not transferred to us, but we have the power to deliver those sinful forefathers. If any forefathers are sinful, then we have the power to do that. Like for example, fasting on Ekadashi. That benefits us. At the same time, it benefits our forefathers also. So we can help them, but their things cannot be affected to us. Every person has got different karma, and there is no karmic transfer from one person to another. We might be very, very close, like spouse. One spouse is very close to another spouse. Kids are very close to parents, but there cannot be karma transfer between them. Not possible. The karma is individual. It cannot be transferred. Why Gopi's relation considered as lusty against love? Oh, that will come. That will come. Just to answer your question, since we cannot understand what is love, the word that is used here is kama. Hmm? Sukadeva Goswami has used the word kama.
Yes.
Because we don't know what is love. It's just to make us understand. Hmm? Who named Krishna the first time? See, Krishna is eternal. Like his form is eternal, the name itself is eternal. So even when Garga Muni was naming Krishna, so at that time he says that this name is eternal and I'm just, so he says that I'm just uttering the eternal name which has been existing eternally. That's how he names Krishna. He doesn't say that I'm naming Krishna. He says I'm just uttering that name which eternally exists. And that's how he named Krishna. So as Krishna is eternal, his form is eternal, his pastimes are eternal, similarly his name is eternal. Because there is no difference between Krishna and his holy name. One question that has been in my mind for long, is Krishna black or blue? Okay, Krishna's color. Let's understand what is Krishna's color. Krishna is neither black, Krishna is neither blue. Let me tell you what is color of Krishna. Krishna's color is the color of a newly formed rain-filled cloud. So like when it is about to rain, go out and see. Now it's very difficult to find when it's about to rain, but you go out and see when it's about to rain, the color of that cloud, that is called as Megha Shyam, and that is the color of Krishna. That's the color of Krishna. Yes. But what to do? We don't get those colors, right? So we paint Krishna black or we paint Krishna blue. Okay, so the questions are answered. Thank you very much.